This week, anyone who's anyone in the film industry has flocked to the French Riviera for the annual Cannes Film Festival. With hundreds of films on offer over 2 weeks and all the darlings of Hollywood you could ever wish for swanning around, there's plenty for the critics to get their teeth into, and we haven't even got to the parties yet. We've tracked down film critic Jason Solomons on the Côte d'Azur to talk us through the first few days of Cannes, including the festival opener, Woody Allen's Café Society. That's all to come on the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian Tobias. Jason Solomons, welcome to the show. Now, I hope the sun is shining down there in Cannes.
It is. It was a little stormy, and now the wind has blown that away, and the sun is now set to shine for the rest of the festival. So that's good.
And what's the filmic atmosphere like this year?
Well, actually full of, I mean, a lot of buzz. I mean, Cannes really does create this buzz. When you enter the kind of bubble of the Cannes Film Festival, it is nothing but buzz. It is glamorous. It is hyped. It is probably sort of, you know, unnecessary. But when you're in it, I must tell you, you know, you kind of crackle with the static of excitement of both celebrity and art. That's what's odd. It's both glamorous and yet kind of soul nourishing as well. There really are some excellent films from around the world here, not your normal films. And it's always very pleasant when you see like Hollywood blockbuster people like George Clooney and Julia Roberts, who we've had in town today, kind of clashing with people like Ken Loach who are making films about the benefits system. That all of those things can coexist in the Cannes bubble, and that's a very strange atmosphere which makes it so special.
Well, we're delighted to have caught you in that very special bubble. So let's start at the beginning, because this year's selection, it was announced a few weeks ago, and the film heading up the festival, the opening film, is Woody Allen's Café Society. Let's have a listen.
Love is not rational. You fall in love. You lose control.
Whoa. Is that good or bad?
No answer is also an answer.
Socrates said, the unexamined life is not worth living. But the examined one is no bargain.
Yes?
Life is a comedy written by a sadistic comedy writer.
A clip from Woody Allen's Café Society. Now, any Woody Allen film, a new film, is always met with high expectations. Jason, what did you think of the film?
Well, as you know, I'm slightly biased because, as Monocle listeners know, I wrote a book on Woody Allen last year and spent all year kind of talking about it and talking about it. So for me, it's a kind of, you know, closing of that chapter. I saw Woody Allen in Cannes last year with Irrational Man, and he's here again this year with Café Society. People keep saying, oh, Woody Allen films are all the same. Well, last year's Irrational Man with Emma Stone and Joaquin Phoenix was set on a campus, a philosophy campus in the East Coast. Well, this is completely different. So, you know, Yabu sucks to anyone who kind of gainsays Woody Allen on that point. This is a 1930s period piece about old Hollywood. A disillusioned Jewish kid from the Bronx, I wonder who that's based on, goes to Hollywood to kind of seek his fortune. He's called Bobby Dorfman and played by Jesse Eisenberg, who's probably the best Woody Allen proxy we've ever seen. In fact, he is Woody Allen. I mean, in real life, he writes plays on Broadway as well, so he's kind of got that Woody shtick going. He goes to Hollywood and tries to get a job in the movies, but finds it shallow and kind of an empty place, even though he's in love with Swing Time and Barbara Stanwyck movies. And then he falls in love with a charming secretary played by Kristen Stewart. And they have a sort of unrequited affair that leaves him brokenhearted. And he comes back to New York and gets a job in a nightclub there. And then we meet his family. I mean, you know, it's only an hour and 40 minutes, Café Society. And yet he packs all of this in. It's like a kind of Russian novel that sweeps through. I thought it was delicious. It's got, as we heard on the soundtrack that you played, Gillian, a little twinkling of Rodgers and Hart, who were the big kind of hit composers at the time. All of those tracks. He threw the songbook at this movie. You know, you've got A Fine Romance, Ladies of Tramp, I Didn't Know What Time It Was, all tinkling away kind of constantly throughout. I loved it. I have to say, I found it transporting and elegant and funny and wise too.
I'm really interested to hear about the look of it, because for the first time Woody Allen worked with the legendary cinematographer Vittorio Storaro.
Yes, who did Apocalypse Now, among
exactly,
other things.
Exactly.
And he always has a habit of kind of, you know, finding kind of odd cinematographers to work with. You know, Storaro does fantastic work here. It's also the first time he's worked digitally, and you wouldn't know it at all. He lights the LA scenes like a kind of classic Hollywood movie. Kristen Stewart kind of looks like she's a kind of, you know, in kind of, you know, Vaseline-lensed kind of beautiful Hollywood kind of close-up. And then the New York scenes have got this kind of sepia kind of greyness to them, contrasting the two lights of the coast. And then they all sort of come together in kind of the New York nightclubs. I found it very beautiful on that front as well. And that was one of the kind of the major points. Santa Loquasto's production design and the costume design is fabulous too. There's all these different fashions because you've got, you know, him, Bobby arrives in this very heavy kind of East Coast New York tweed suit and kind of goes to Hollywood and everyone's wearing kind of lovely flannels. And so it's a beautiful contrast there. I thought it was very, very beautifully artistically done, as well as kind of having this kind of, you know, if you're a Woody Allen expert, it's Radio Days meets Bullets Over Broadway meets Crimes and Misdemeanors. Now, no one else could make those three films come together except Woody Allen, and he does it with a kind of late period melancholy to it all. I thought it was a delightful film to open because it's got Hollywood history in it, it's got kind of philosophy in it. It was a great Cannes opening movie, and I also think it's one of the better of his kind of, you know, late period movies, which of course he's always making the same film: Blue Jasmine, Irrational Man, Midnight in Paris, Cafe Society. I don't think so.
Well, I certainly feel like booking my ticket now. Cafe Society will hit America's cinemas on July 29th. On to our next film. I, Daniel Blake is the new movie by British director Ken Loach. Set in the northern city of Newcastle, it follows two characters who find solace in each other's company, both of whom are being shafted by the government's uncaring approach to their problems, be it health or homelessness. Let's hear a clip from the movie. Here the two protagonists, Katie and Daniel, come across each other for the very first time.
I understand, right? But what I gather now is the decision maker. The decision maker's going to be sending you a letter through the post. You're going to have to wait for that, and then you get
this. My kids have got to start school tomorrow. I've got about 12 quid in my purse.
Do you know what?
Because you can't just calm down and listen to people when they talk.
Right.
You all
Again,
have to do this.
Do you know what? I've listened to you. You've created a scene.
I think I've created a scene. You'd know about it.
You need to leave the building.
I'm sorry, you're
okay,
going
to have to. This is ridiculous.
Jesus Christ!
What am I supposed to do?
Who's first in this queue?
I am.
Do you mind if this young lass signs on first?
No, you carry on.
There you go. Now you can go back to your desk and let her sign on and do the job that the taxpayer pays you for. This is a bloody disgrace.
And that was a clip from Ken Loach's new film, I, Daniel Blake. Now, this is Ken Loach's 12th film in competition at Cannes. He's a bit of a Cannes darling and an amazing filmmaker at that. What did you make of this film?
Yeah, I think he's an amazing filmmaker too. And it's funny because Woody Allen, that was his 14th here at Cannes. He's never in competition, but Ken Loach is always in competition. He's a former Cannes Palme d'Or winner, of course, for The Wind That Shakes the Barley. And this film is more in the kind of classic Ken Loach sort of vein of Poor Cow and Cares, those kind of social realist films that he made his own back in the 60s. And I think it's called I, Daniel Blake, and it is one of those films that could actually change the world, like Kathy Come Home did, which of course kind of changed the way the homeless society was in Britain, set up the charity Shelter. And this is a similarly impassioned cry from Ken Loach. He said he'd retired from filmmaking a couple of years ago and he was going to make documentaries, but this one has pulled him out of retirement because he obviously feels so passionately about the welfare system in the UK at the moment. I've literally just come from the screening now and my eyes, I've got to confess to you, Gillian, are a little bit wet still, because what he could do is kind of build this emotion in you where you are just suffocated by the system, which is suffocating these poor individuals, these honest individuals who are crushed by a kind of unfeeling social welfare system in the UK.
Well, it's so interesting you say that, because literally just hearing the end of that clip, the hairs on the back of my neck stood on end, you know, championing, you know, the every man, the man in the street, the downtrodden.
Well, it starts funny. Like Ken Loach's films, they start funny. You know, it's a man holding on to the call centre, fed up with the music, being passed from hither to thither by automated voices and not being going to get an appointment, and suddenly this kind of quagmire, this Kafka-esque quagmire of bureaucracy, we suddenly realise it's sort of set up to deter people. And I'm not going to give anything away, but then there's a sort of a single mum we heard in the clip there, played by Hayley Squires, and her family comes into it as well. I mean, there's nothing particularly on the outset sort of flamboyant in the screenplay. There's not a kind of artful shot in the whole thing, but if there's a more heartfelt, passionate, urgent film in the whole festival, I will be absolutely shocked. I thought I, Daniel Blake was not just beautiful, but it's so important that it's a film that everyone has to see, in a way, because it's the sort of film that we're all ignoring. I've never seen a food bank on the big screen before. And I think there was a collective intake of breath as the kind of, you know, fairly bourgeois audience in Cannes saw and went into a food bank, which is happening all over, not just the UK, all over Europe and the world at the moment. And we're forgetting about these people and trust Ken Loach to give them their time on the big screen at Cannes.
The acting seems so naturalistic. The actors don't even seem like they're actors. And it seems in some way more improvised than a script. Do you know much about that?
The methods, well, actually, it's written by Paul Laverty, who's written the last sort of 12 Ken Loach movies. And he has this way of kind of blending documentary realism, almost kind of taking quotes verbatim, as we say it, from real life, news pieces, from court records as well, and kind of blending them into dialogue. So they feel like they've sort of been workshopped in documentary, but actually they're pretty well scripted. What Ken Loach doesn't do is use stars in any way. So you look like you're seeing people for the first time, and that's where it comes across. It kind of filters out all the kind of, I suppose what we call the trickery of filmmaking, to kind of get back to its urgent basics. And it did it with Kathy Come Home 50 years ago. Nothing's changed, this film seems to be saying, and certainly nothing's changed about the way Ken Loach is making his films, and you have to admire him for it. And do you know what the sad thing is? That almost the system of filmmaking is crushing these sorts of films out as well. So it's impassioned from the filmmaking, the meta side of it too. I think it's an extraordinary piece, Daniel Blake.
Well, a big thumbs up for Ken Loach's film In Competition, Daniel Blake. Finally, we're heading to Romania for a new film from one of the pioneers of Romanian New Wave cinema, Cristi Puiu. Sierra Nevada is also up for the coveted Palme d'Or at this year's festival. Now, Jason, what's the story here?
This is, I think this is one of the great films that you see at Cannes. It's it's 3 hours of a Romanian family.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I know. Do you know, I didn't look at the runtime before I went in, unusually. And therefore, I was very surprised when I got out and thought, oh, that's been 3 hours. It passed, you know, pretty quickly. It felt only like 2.5. And what we've got is a Romanian family gathering for a meal here in a cramped Bucharest apartment for the memorial of their father, in fact. But you've got the mother for whom this is a very important event, and she's invited a priest along to give blessings. You've got the kind of the sons, one of whom all he does is read the internet and conspiracy theories about 9/11. You've got another one who's kind of going to completely cynical about the whole thing. You've got an aunt who's kind of an old communist and kind of says the communists were the best. You've got younger daughters who kind of want to go off to Zagreb. All life is there in this apartment, and they keep trying to lay the table to have this dinner, and it's a sort of Buñuelian conceit because they never actually get to sort of have this dinner. And by the look of it, actually, they don't look like they're missing out. Bit of fish borscht, I've got to tell you. It's one of the least appetizing food movies, but one of the great ones nevertheless. I thought this was rich and dense and funny, scabrously dark. You've got priests in it, you've got religion kind of being a sideswipe, but you've also got, you know, arguments happening, and the camera work is extraordinary. I'm a bit obsessed with Woody Allen, but you know, remember in Husbands and Wives, where that camera just kind of wavered about the apartment and people would wander in out of doors and go out of shot and continue talking. We've got that here. The camera sort of stays in this hallway while people go into the kitchen and the bathroom and the bedroom and the lounge, and they come out and they're carrying plates and glasses and having conversations everywhere. It was so dense and packed. I really, you know, really felt that I kind of lived every second in that apartment too. I thought this was a really, really fine piece of work. An early contender, I'd say, for the Palme d'Or, that Romanian New Wave. This director did The Death of Mr. Lazarescu, which kind of took place in the back of an ambulance over real time. Feels like that too, technically, on that level, a stunning piece of work, and I thought very funny as well, in a very blackly kind of post-communist era sort of way. It's Sierra Nevada. I don't know why it's called Sierra Nevada, kind of a bit of a mystery about that. It's nothing to do with the western or a mountain or snow or anything like that, but I think it's to do with the way that kind of these kind of people are in a kind of frontier world, this new post-communist world that's opening up to Romanians, and you definitely see that clash of generations gathered in a family comedy. I do like things like that. It reminded me of being a Jewish shiva or something like that, where people are always cooking and arguing about stuff, and it's exactly like that. And I, you know what, that's the sort of movie I love, and it's the sort of movie I love seeing at Cannes.
Well, we'll be very curious to look out for that one when it comes our way. But finally, I'm curious to find out from you what you're looking forward to next. Where are your expectations? What do you have high hopes for?
Yes, coming up, that's what the thing, you know, it just unfolds like a kind of a table of delights. You know, we've got a new film from Pedro Almodovar called Julieta, which I'm really looking forward to. We've got a film by a director called Jeff Nichols called Loving, which stars Joel Edgerton and Ruth Negger, about a real-life mixed-race marriage in 1950s America. And they love Jeff Nichols here. I love Jeff Nichols too. I mean, he did Mud, that was in competition here, and Take Shelter, and recently Midnight Special, that was out in the UK. I've got a real big thing for him as an up-and-coming director, of a real American director of note, and I think that's going to be really one to watch. And then of course you've got Nicholas Winding Refn, the kind of great Danish controversialist who did Drive and Only God Forgives, and he's here with what's described as a cannibalistic horror set in the world of fashion models in LA. Now, what's not to like about that?
Cannes is about cinema, but it's all about the prize, the big prize. Looking at this year's jury and head of the jury, what kind of film do you think they're going to go for?
Well, it's interesting because the head of the jury this year is George Miller, who was the director of the Mad Max film last year, which played at Cannes out of competition. So he's kind of a big kind of, you know, more Hollywood type director, even though he's Australian. But on the jury, you've got, you know, Vanessa Paradis, you've got Valeria Golino from Italy. You've got Kirsten Dunst on the jury as well. Plus, you've got last year's one of last year's winners, Laszlo Nemes, who directed The Amazing Son of Saul, on the jury there. So these people are going to come together and kind of thrash it out. There seems to be a kind of real mix of taste there. God knows what they're going to end up with, kind of coming to some consensus over. It's going to be very hard, I think, especially at this stage, to know what George Miller's going to go for. Often the chairman of the jury does have this kind of deciding casting vote over what would in. So I would expect him to not go for something kind of quiet, but you never know what. George Miller made Mad Max and he made Babe as well. So you pick out his taste.
Big drum roll there. Which brings us to the end of today's show. Thanks very much to my guest, Jason Solomons, in Cannes. Remember to tune into The Cinema Show tonight at 20:00 London time for more news from the Cannes Film Festival and a visit to Vienna's Rosenhügel Studios. You've been listening to The Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian DeBias. The show was produced by Holly Fisher and researched by Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again at the same time on Monday when we'll be talking art in New York. But for now, goodbye from me and thanks for listening.